In the meantime, one of the doctors who was on board the ship here is married to a girl who was half Chinese and half Irish. And the mother's name was Regina McClary. And because he was over there, he's only been over here for, only was only going to be over here for 3 months. And so her father was teaching physics at a university in Hong Kong. Since her parents were living here, she came over to visit with them and then was going to meet her husband, Bob, when he finished his tour. So he had asked us to give her a letter because the mail hadn't been catching up with him. And he hadn't, I guess he hadn't heard from her, she hadn't heard from him or something. And he also asked us to bring some smoking tobacco, American smoking tobacco, to the father. So it was a treat. And I called her, and she asked us if we would go out to dinner with them. And oh, we said certainly, you know. So she and her father picked us up, a very nice man, an older man, you know. And he'd been educated in the States and had done, of course, spoke English very well and had his doctorate from MIT. His name was Chu, C-H-I-A-H. Sia, I don't know if it's Chu or C, something like that. And she's a very attractive girl. So she and the father picked us up and took us in a cab to a Chinese restaurant, again a place where there were very, very few Caucasians. In fact, the whole evening, only one other group of Caucasians came in, and they were Australians, and one of the men spoke Chinese fluently. Obviously, had been in Hong Kong for a good period of time. There were many, many Australians. Hong Kong. There are many Australians all over the Philippines and in Da Nang. Of course, they're in the service of Da Nang, but it's quite impressive. And so they had us, it was an excellent, excellent dinner. And again, Chinese style. Fortunately, we had some idea of how they eat. Their service and all is so different. They had, of course, they serve you their tea. And then soup in a very small bowl, and use those glass spoons. And then the soup was delicious. I've had delicious soup all while I was there. I had shark's fin soup, every kind of soup, name it, I've had it. And just absolutely wonderful. Chicken and leek soup, and it was just marvelous. So I don't know what kind of soup this was. So they put, you know, as you would finish the bowl of soup, they'd give you more soup. It was very, very nice. And then we had, they give you a little, a bowl for your rice, and they give you a little bowl for, a little plate, almost like our bread and butter plate, because you chopsticks. And the mother, Mrs. Chu, who's the one who I said his name was Heather McCleary, said, oh, she forgot to bring forks for us, and if we couldn't eat with the chopsticks, you know, to get the, they'd get some forks for us someplace. Well, you know us, we wouldn't have admitted we couldn't eat with chopsticks if our lives depended on it. So we did pretty well, as a matter of fact, I must admit. And they had this duck, and they had sweet and sour pork, and they had rice, and they had shrimp, two kinds of shrimp, and they had some kind of a vegetable that resembled like our broccoli, and they ate that last, the other dishes first. And you're just supposed to take what you, as you want something, you take it off the main plate, you see, and there's no, the way they do it in American restaurants, splitting it up, it's none of that. You take what you want. So they gave us some. It was just delicious, and they were constantly afraid that we wouldn't be eating enough, so they were always putting things on our plates. So it was very, very good, and the rice was excellent. And they bring in these particular Chinese restaurants, they bring in their own bottles. And apparently Chinese restaurants, true Chinese restaurants, do not cater to just a group of five or six or seven. The better restaurants, if it's not a group of 50 or 100, then they're really not interested, which surprised me. Of course, the Western-type hotels are a bit different, but the real Chinese places. And they have all kinds of, to announce birthdays or weddings or anything, you know, welcome home They have all kinds of floral designs outside the building so that when you go by, you know that I couldn't read it, of course, but Eileen told us that would say whether or not who was getting married and all this business, or who was welcoming who. So it was quite an education. So anyhow, they brought some Chinese brandy, which was quite good, and they poured some out. You know, leave it to me. I wasn't even going to be left out. So they gave me something to eat, and I put it in my mouth, and it was the hottest thing I'd ever had in my life. It was a very, very hot pepper. And I grabbed the nearest thing I could to cool it off, and it was the brandy. And I guess, you know, I thought the top of my head was going to come off. But it was a delicious meal. And I neglected to mention, when we got to the restaurant, Eileen's son, who was about 5, was there. And also her mother and uncle Chong, her father's brother. His wife, whom they call Aunt Helen, was not there because the May was sick. And it appears that, they call them Amas, the Ama was sick, and it appears that, well, was away, that you just don't leave a house empty in Hong Kong, an apartment or anything else. So then they invited us to go out to their home, and well, out to their apartment, and like any place else, like in Athens or any of the major cities, apartments are quite expensive. So we went out there, and it was in the Happy Valley section of Hong Kong, which is near the Happy Valley racetrack. And it was, again, very interesting, because I love those kind of things. They walked us through the little area where they have the vegetables and fruits for sale. And the father brought some fruit, which I didn't recognize, but later found out it was a fruit called pomelo. So we went up to their apartment, and this pomelo was like the grandfather of the grapefruit, except that it's sweet. It's much larger, and you peel it, and you eat it almost like you would an orange, except it is much sweeter. And then they had some Chinese candy for us and all, and oh, we just had a nice time visiting with them. And for all the years her mother had lived in China, because they lived in China for several years and were interned there all during World War II, she was in hiding. She hasn't lost one bit of her Irish, Philadelphia Irish accent or way of thinking or anything else. I really, really enjoyed her because they haven't lived there all that time. She was not a bit Oriental. And then we met the Aunt Helen, who promised to take us shopping with her the next day, because a lot of the shopping in Hong Kong is bargaining. And we just enjoyed it so much. So the next day, we had quite a bit to do. We decided to take a tour. Kathy, in the meantime, had been looking for a veil. She had some shoes made, but she was looking for a veil to go with this wedding gown. So we took by this time I had all the shopping that I could take, so I said to her, well, listen, I'm going on a tour. She said, well, I'll go along with you, a tour of Hong Kong Island. And we used to eat breakfast in the hotel, and at the place called the Expresso, they had a buffet breakfast, which was a lot of fun. You could go up and eat as much as you wanted for very little money. I think it was about $6. But I mean, you could have eggs and kidneys and all the things that the British go for. But we went for the things like fresh food, which we don't get. And of course, we went wild over that stuff. And it was great. So anyhow, the next morning we took a tour. Picked us up at around 9 o'clock, and it took us to Hong Kong and over to the Tiger Bomb Gardens, which is the most atrocious place in the world. I think this guy was some kind of a nut. Instead of being a real garden, it's just all statuary, and it's really ugly. I'm sure if Alice saw that she would agree that it, but it's something that you have to see in Hong Kong. It's the Tiger Bomb Gardens. And she took us over to, they took us